Well, Ellie Brendel, that was some seriously creative announcements. Can you give a big hand for Ellie Brendel? Let's go. That was phenomenal. It's great to see all of you. I have had the privilege of being here before, only we were at CSU at the Remington campus, and this is my first time to ever be here in this brand new building. Let's thank God for this space. Can we do it? This is incredible. Incredible. So thank you for the way that you have prayed and sacrificed and given and worked. We are watching you from Kansas City, and we are learning, and it is a joy to be with you. Pastor Aaron and Jossie are on sabbatical, and so, wow, you guys are an incredible church. Take care of your pastors so well. It's my joy and honor to get to be here this morning. I deeply love Aaron. We are very close. He's one of my overseers, and let me tell you something, the man can oversee. I jokingly call him, you know, he's so in emotional health, I call him my most healthy friend, and so I frequently connect with him, and I am so grateful to you for letting him oversee. I know he oversees more than one church, but it is such a blessing to our house that Aaron is an overseer for us, and it's a joy to get to be with you this morning. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're working through John. Last week, we were in John chapter 6, the first part. We're going to actually continue in John 6 today, and we're going to pick up in verse 53. I do want to warn you that Aaron likes to read deep quotes from theologians and historians, and I like to sing childhood songs. And so I'm going to need a little bit. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, everybody, and so I'm going to need a little bit of you, a little more feedback. Feel free. Just you can get a little more Pentecostal, charismatic, amen, scream a little bit if you want. You can shout it out. If you don't want to and you want to be a little bit, you know, quieter, that's okay. But I'm just telling you what I'd like. Okay, John chapter 6. Are you with me? All right. Okay, we got the front row. John 6, 53 says this. We're going to read a lot of Bible here. It says this. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." Verse 66, "From this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And my message today is nowhere else to go. Will you just place your hand over your heart and let's pray together? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, so desiring to be present day authentic disciples of Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us completely and that you would help us walk closely with you. God, we thank you that you are at work. We thank you that you will do it. And God, we ask that today you would do a supernatural work. God, we pray that today you would help us. God, we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in a supernatural way in each of us. May we not turn back. May we follow no matter the circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. What keeps a person following Jesus when life falls apart? What keeps a person following Jesus when circumstance doesn't turn out like we'd hoped? You have really two different kinds of disciples in John 6 at the end here. You have the response of Peter that says, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. I'm with you. I'll follow you no matter what. I'm in to the end." And of course, you and I know that Peter has dark days in the times that he denies him. But Peter never gives up on Jesus. I mean, at the end, he doesn't betray and go the other way like Judas. To the end, we have the story of Peter the disciple. Yet here in John 6, you have language of many, not a few, many disciples, not Pharisees, not the crowd, many disciples turned and no longer followed. I think if you can only imagine the excitement in this moment, there would be great expectation. Here's the rabbi from Galilee and he's doing miracles. He's turning water into wine. Wow. There's miracles, not only of like the water to wine, but he's multiplying bread. These look like, even here when John talks about it, he talks about how Jesus talks about manna. And it looks like this is similar to when we were brought out of Egypt as the Jewish people. It looks like this is like a Moses. And maybe he'll not only have multiply bread. Moses brought manna from heaven. But maybe this Jesus, maybe he'll go toe-to-toe with Caesar like Moses went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh. It's possible that God would use this man to deliver us from our oppression. And there would be this hope. Oh, there's crowds coming out to the wilderness to hear him preach. Oh, there's bread being distributed in a supernatural way. Oh, he preaches. Hey, maybe this is it. And now there's a lot of excitement. The crowds are gathering. Let's go. It's go time. Only to have the massive disappointment when Jesus says things like, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood, abide in me. I am the bread. What are you talking about? No, no, no. You're not doing what we want you to do." I don't know if you've been there, but if you've been a disciple for very long, it's very easy as you follow Jesus to be like those disciples, those crowds. "Jesus, why won't you do what you want me to do? I said I would follow you, and hey, I've come out here and I'm grateful for this bread. We've got this thing started," or whatever your journey is. "God's done, God saved you. I'm in. But why is my circumstance not changing? Why won't you be the Jesus that I want you to be? Why won't you do what I want?" And then this devastating verse. I would call it one of the saddest verses in Scripture. Where Jesus says, are you gonna go like them? I mean, can you imagine? So from that time on, many disciples turned back, no longer followed. As a friend of disciples that have turned back, this is a heartbreaking verse for me. I'm the guy that in my teenage years, man, we did prayer meetings every morning in my public school and we saw God at work. I had some really awesome friends that have turned back. My college years, theology major, studying, preparing for ministry, had a lot of buds that we went into ministry together. Many have turned back. As a pastor, now, I mean, I think I've had some dark days where you officiate, you know, funerals for children, or you walk with people through their darkest valley. But maybe even worse than that is to walk with people that have turned back. And today I just want us to, real simple, be the people that have Peter's response. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are, it's about, you are the Holy One of God." So that when you face disappointment, and you will, when I face disappointment, and I have, that no matter the circumstance, no matter when Jesus may not do what we want him to do, when the healing doesn't come like you'd hoped, when the financial miracle doesn't come like you'd hoped, when the relational breakdown, and you're tempted to say, I wanted the good life. I wanted prosperity. I wanted things to go better. And I have to face the disappointment and the pain of I'm following you, but this earthly life is not turning out quite the way that I'd hoped. And here we have this confession of Peter where in essence, I love each of these three little phrases that I want to break down because in each one of them, he's pointing back, I'm following a person, not a plan. I'm following you. I don't know what the circumstance may be, but I haven't given up on you. I got on an airplane quite a few years ago and was wearing a hat. I'm only 5'5", so the flight attendant looked at me and said, sir, are you at least 15 years of age? You must be at least 15 years of age to sit in the exit row. I looked at him and I said, my brother, I have 4 kids and a mortgage. I am grown up and stressed out. I've never had anyone do this, but after we got up in the air, he came and he sat down next to me and I began to talk to him about Jesus. And he said, I tried Jesus and it didn't work. I said, ooh, that's an interesting way of talking. What do you mean it did not work? He said, well, the preacher said that if I would follow Jesus, my life would get better. I'm still single. I'm still broke. And I still don't have my dream car. It didn't work. I said, you mean you follow Jesus so that you can get what you want on earth? And he said, why would I want religion for any other reason? And I said, well, my friend, I don't follow Jesus because of what he can give me. I follow him because of who he is. And at the very core, you and I chose to follow Jesus for different reasons. It's very easy for us living in our culture to maybe know that theoretically, but over time, when pain piles up, when we begin to stack disappointment, it's very easy to be so disappointed in Jesus that we too would just turn back. This phrase where Peter says, Lord, to whom should we go? I love it. I wonder if Jesus might be looking at you today and saying, hey, what about you? You gonna go too? You gonna turn back too? And for me, I've had to answer that question differently in each decade. When I was 20 years old, there was a certain expectation that didn't happen. When I was 30, I faced some trials, some massive disappointments. 40, leaders let me down in ways that I thought, I don't even know if I can keep going. All of us face these moments where at the core, it comes down to who is Jesus to you? And this is Peter's confession. To whom shall we go? Which is basically like saying, hey, we've already left everything and where else are we gonna go look for life? I mean, we've left our fishing nets. We've left family. We're following you. What else is gonna provide life? Fame's not gonna provide life. Trying to just get comfort's not gonna provide life. And it's this question of who else is gonna be who you are? I've got a recognition of who you are. This is the key point. It's kind of like I see glory. I love in John 1:14 where it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I see glory. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what that means about eat your flesh and drink your blood. I don't know what it means to feast on you or to feed upon you. But I'll tell you this, I know that I'm not looking in any other place. And I know I can't find life in another place. Where else would I go? I'm gonna keep looking to you. This is what I wanna invite you to today. I wanna invite you to renew that decision. Everybody follows something. Nobody follows nothing. We're all following some place we're looking for life. And the temptation is, when there's disappointment in the Christian journey, and there often is, this is not heaven yet, is to kind of try to relocate where you find life, to kind of look in another place. It's interesting because John, when he writes this gospel, he repeats, you know, the way that Jesus talks about the wilderness language as the people of God were delivered from Egypt. And in Exodus 16, it's the famous story where the people said, We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back into slavery. And it's reversal language. It's the same kind of language that is turned back. And inevitably, John, when he writes it, he's mirroring that story. Because the people in the wilderness, they want to go back into Egypt. I want to go back into slavery where I used to have leeks and onions and to get to feast like I used to. And though it's slavery, it still feeds my stomach. And it was for them. I got to trust God in the wilderness, in relationship with God in the wilderness, instead of having my stomach fed in slavery in Egypt. And I think every single one of us have this temptation to go, you would know what it looks like for you to turn back. Many times we've run movies of it in our mind. We might not verbalize it in church, but we know what it would look like. I know what it would be for me. I know my friends in high school, what they pursued. I know what I perceived to be fun. I know what I perceived to be Egypt, which is temporary pleasure, but eternal bondage. And Jesus is having a real conversation with the 12. It's very interesting that he looks at the 12 and he asks the 12, what about you? And I just love this. To whom shall we go? Then he says this phrase, you have the words of eternal life. It's you, no one else. You have the words of eternal life. I'm in a relationship with you. I can imagine when Peter's thinking about this follow language, that was the invitation that Jesus offered. And Jesus, when he invited the 12 to follow, when he came and talked to the fishermen, or said, hey, follow me. He didn't say, hey, follow me and I'll give you the good life. The invitation to follow was not the plan, it was just the person. Hey, follow me, and that's all you get. You get me. And if you're one of the disciples, you could say, well, if I follow you, what am I gonna get? And Jesus could have delivered on that. Hey, you follow me, Peter, you're gonna get to meet some cool people. Mount of Transfiguration, you're gonna meet Moses and Elijah, let's go. You're gonna be famous, Peter. You're gonna end up with your name written on the foundation stone on the eternal city, let's go. Hey, Peter, you're gonna walk on water, baby. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun. Let's try it. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be famous. It's gonna be cool. He doesn't do any of those things. He just gets the invitation. Follow me and see. Just follow me. What you get is a person. And what Peter does right here is he goes, you have the words of eternal life. What I get is you. I feed on you. Become my life. One of the people that I know that embodies this the best is a man in our church. He's in his late 20s now. But he's been at our church since the beginning. And Joe is in a wheelchair. And he has the ability to know Jesus in a way that when I get around him, there's life. He feeds on Jesus. He worships. And sometimes I wonder, what is it? How is it that Joe is able to know Jesus, walk with Jesus? In many ways, we would say, oh, aren't you mad at God? And here's Joe. He overflows with spiritual vibrancy and life. And he embodies this message. He embodies Jesus as his life. And I find myself gravitating towards him. I actually, at our church, it's funny when he's there, I run to him, because just to get around him is to get around someone who knows Jesus. He's got life. It's the joy of every disciple to know you have the words of eternal life. I'm not going to live for earth. I'm looking to heaven. You're the means to life. I'm not going to use you, Jesus, as a means to my end to get the earthly good life. You are the means. You are the end. I'm in this for you. I want relationship. This is discipleship. This is the disciple that wants relationship with Jesus. Jesus prayed that. Now, this is eternal life that they might know. You prayed that in the high priestly prayer. It's that you would know him. It's that you'd have relationship with him. And this is Peter. Are you kidding me? To whom should we go? Can you imagine if that got deeply embedded in you? What else am I going to do? Live for fame? Here's the challenge. You and I have so much available to us. It's easy for you and I in wealthy America to say, oh, some of those things could allure me, to the degree that you have what I'm going to call revelation, where you just go, I've seen, I know you are the Holy One of God. That's his third one. We have come to believe and to know you are the Holy One of God. It's just saying, I don't know all that that means, but I know enough. I don't know what it meant. And this is us. We don't know how everything's going to turn out. We don't understand. We don't understand our circumstance. Those 12, I bet they had questions, just like the disciples that walked away. I think the 12, though, to whom shall we go? They had allegiance. The 12 that walked away, the people, the disciples that walked away, they said, you didn't give me what I wanted. I didn't get the teaching there. It's circumstantial. I'm going to be done. I'm out. But the 12 right there, that's, we've got this allegiance to you. I think they still had questions. And I see Jesus here. And he's kind of in this like, you gonna come too? You gonna come with me? You gonna walk with trusting me? Even though you don't understand. And the question is, do you know him enough? Do you believe? This is all through John, Jesus says this word believe. Actually, 98 times we have the word believe. Martha, believe. The blind man, hey, do you believe? Thomas, stop doubting, believe. John 3:16, whoever would believe in me. I don't fully understand it all. I can't see, but I know enough. I've seen enough that I'll follow. I believe. I'm after you. This is what I want to invite us to today, that this confession in Peter is in us. I love the old song. I used to sing it in Sunday school. I'm a preacher's kid, everybody, so I often sing Sunday school songs. But it's, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And here's John 6:66, our text for today. No turning back, no turning back. Best part of the song is the last verse. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. This is Peter. Not, hey, I've got resolve. I've got discipline. It's, no, I've seen enough of your glory. I've seen just enough. I've beheld just enough revelation. So it's not my own strength. That's what we ought to do. We often do. Maybe in my younger years, I had this. I'm with you, God. Come on, I can eat the right thing, work out every day, do the right thing every day, read Atomic Habits, figure out how to follow Jesus every day. My resolve, my discipline. But Peter faced his own weakness, his own brokenness. Later on in the story, Peter's not that Peter was perfect. Jesus shows up in John 21, talks to him on the beach. Come on, he reinstates Peter. This isn't about your resolution or your discipline. This is about your revelation. You are who you say you are. I don't get it. And circumstance doesn't always work out. But this I know, the world has nothing else to offer. I have looked in other places and you alone have the words of eternal life. Where else would I go? To whom would I go? What would I do? No, it's Christ and Christ alone. You are eternal. You are what I feed upon. You are my life. Boy, you get that inside of you where it's the revelation of who Jesus is. It's a resolution to get, if I get anything, I'm going to get an awareness, a revelation of who Christ is, so that the disciple says, no turning back. Not because of who I am or my discipline, but I do recognize who you are. I'm going to stumble and fumble my way forward, but I will not turn back. I will walk with Jesus to the end. I will trust you. We often want discipleship to be like our a map on our phone, on our Apple phone, you know, that's like, show me exactly where to, how to get there. This is what I want my life to be, God. Show me how it's going to work out. But the only app it would be on your phone is a compass. That's what Jesus says. He says, follow me, and I ain't telling you how it's going to work out. I'm going to tell you to do things you're not going to understand. There's going to be heartache and circumstances that the only thing that you do is you come before Jesus and you say, I don't get it. I'm heartbroken, but I trust you. And I will not turn back. And I've set my compass. I don't know why, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I don't know all the roads, and I don't know when there's a construction, why I can't go this way, and I want you to tell me how it's all going to work out. I want to be in control. And he says, that's the problem. You have decided, Lord. Jesus is Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? You are my Lord and my God. I will follow you. I will not turn back. I want to invite you today to identify your Egypt. If you were to turn back, you know what it would look like. I know what it would look like for me. I know for me, it'd be college football, eat what I want, leave God out, and just marinate. Nothing wrong with college football. Just saying. I know it'd be to leave God out. I got enough high school and college friends. I know what I would look like if I was like, I'm turning back. I can almost tell you exactly. But it's this resolution. I'm in it for a person. Jesus, no turning back. And I want to invite you too to do just what the text says here in John 6:57, where Jesus says to feed on him. And I want to invite you this week as your practice to feed on the scripture, specifically this week, John 6. And this resolution, if you can, memorize it. Memorize this from Peter. To whom shall we go? Because this is what comes out of you. When you're channel surfing or scrolling and you start to feel that pleasure of like, I think I want the world. To whom shall we go? The cross before me. The world behind me. I ain't turning back. No. Resolution. I have decided. I'm with you. I'm with a person. My life is not about my bank account. My life is not about how good I look. My life is not how tall am I. Thank God. Here's my life. I'm with you. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. I'm with you forever. There is one that I sang about. What a God, a moment ago. And I'm with you to the end. And I don't know what the circumstance will be. There may be days where my family faces a crisis I thought was impossible. There may be days where my mentor and my leader turns back. There might be days where I'm in financial ruin. I'm in this for a person. I'm in this for you. And it's because of who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You are who you say you are. My friend, Dick Eastman, went to be with Jesus a couple months ago. And he was a mentor of mine. He became a mentor of mine in 1998. And Dick Eastman, for over 40 years, spent time alone with Jesus every day without missing a day. He just scheduled first what mattered most, made it a priority, never missed a day. And I know you hear that, and that can sound like legalism. I just saw a man that made a choice, just like Coloradans would thank God every day that you live with the mountains. And he would say, thank God I don't live in Kansas with David. You know, amen. That's the first amen I've gotten out of you, brother. But every day he spent time with Jesus, and about 10 years ago, we were on the front row, and he held up his Bible. And he looked at me, and he goes, hey, David. You know, he's probably late 70s at this point. Hey, David, look, I got my Bible back. I said, Dick, I didn't even know that you lost it. He said, no, I didn't lose it. He said, I use this every day, and I had it rebound. But I took it in, and the lady said that it would take a month. And I said, I can't wait a month. And she said, sir, it takes a month. And I said, I love that. I've marked in it. I'd like to have it back. I need it. I want to read it every day. And she said, sir, you're going to have to get in line like everybody else. And he said, so I looked at her, David, and I said, I'll pay any price. And David, I had it the next day. And I said, Dick, how much did you pay? And he goes, I'll never tell. Here's what I love. I love a man in his 70s who spent time with Jesus every day. Spent his life feeding on Jesus. And you will develop a hunger, an appetite for whatever you feed upon. And when Jesus says, feed upon me, if you'll open up the word of God, if you'll abide, if you'll pray, if you'll commune, you too can be like a Dick Eastman. Whatever you feed upon, you will develop a hunger for. Many of us are not hungry. We're so distracted. And I want to invite you this week, don't miss a day. Like the Mill City challenge for this week is the practice of don't miss a day. Ooh, that's kind of legalistic, David. Try it. And if you forget and it's 11:55 p.m. and you get up, open up your Bible and highlight something with mascara, that's fine. Because all you can find in the dark, that's cool. But feed on it. I want to invite you, memorize this prayer of Peter's, because it's a prayer. It's the prayer that we, to whom shall I go? And all the lusts of the age will come and say, come this way. Come on. Come on. And we look at Jesus, because he's going to look at you like he looked at Peter. You going to go too? And your confession is, to whom shall I go? And that can become a lion inside of you, like a roar. It's possible. My daughter, Adeline, she's 18 years old, and she's addicted to fun drinks. She likes boba. She drinks so much sugar. And when she says to me, Dad, let's go out for a fun drink, I get water because I'm 49. But there was a day that I was addicted to lattes. There was a day that I was addicted to the caramel and the sugar and all that stuff. Until I literally turned 40 and I was like, I'm drinking black coffee from this day forward. And for about a year, I hated black coffee. I hated every day. I like, this tastes terrible. This lichen sugar runs in the family. But I got to the point now, I like black coffee. I take a sip of her fun drink and this is going to make me throw up. You know what happened? My appetite changed. Many of you scroll more than you scripture. And I want to invite you could change your appetite. What you feed upon, you'll develop an appetite for. You'll start to go, gah. So that you start to get inside of you. I ain't going back. Sorry, use the word ain't. I'm from Oklahoma. Sometimes some of that language comes out. I ain't turning back. I have decided. Why? Because I'm disciplined. I've read discipline books. No, it's not about your discipline. It's because of who he is. And I know you are the Holy One of God. And there is no chance. The world has nothing to offer. I am not relocating life and finding it in another place. You alone have eternal life, and I'm with you to the end. I don't know what my circumstance will be, but I will be 80 years old, singing at the top of my lungs, no turning back, no turning back. Amen? Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray together. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help every single one of us to walk with Jesus all of our days. And I pray, Lord God, that even when we face trials and heartache and circumstances that we never thought would happen to us, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have this revelation of who Jesus is. And we don't understand all of it. We don't understand everything, but we have enough. We've seen enough of your glory that our relationship with you is supreme. Our allegiance is to you on the days where things seem awesome. And in the days where I couldn't fathom this level of devastation. And I pray for my friends today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that Mill City would walk with Jesus. They would become like Jesus. They would do what Jesus did. I pray, Lord God, the person of Jesus would become their appetite. They'd feed upon him, hunger for him, love your word, love to pray. Know him, and that they would be disciples. Maybe you're in the room or online today, and you would say, I desire to be a disciple of Jesus. I would sing the song right now. I've been singing "The World Before Me," but I don't want that anymore. I want the cross before me. I want Christ. I want to leave my way of sin. I want to turn not away from Jesus. I want to turn toward Jesus and be a follower of him. Today, I want to give you that opportunity to pray this prayer. And this isn't the only thing that you say to Jesus, but this is the first thing. I want to invite you to pray this prayer and become a follower of Jesus today. Say this, just you and God. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you that you gave your life on a cross for me. I repent of my sin. I turn towards you and I'll follow you. I want eternal life now in Christ. I give you everything. Today, just like Peter called you Lord, I call you Lord. Now, would you take just a moment and would you just identify your Egypt and just say to the Lord, I'm never going back to that. Take 10 seconds, just prayer, devotional prayer between you and the Lord. Just say, open my eyes to see Jesus. And may I never go back. No turning back.